This morning our reading is from Psalm 86, verses 11 to 13. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. I love this psalm, Psalm 86. It's titled, A Prayer of David. Now, the biblical scholars aren't really sure at what time frame did David write this prayer. They're not sure if he wrote it when he was running from his enemies, King Saul, who was bent on killing him, or later when he was running from his own son, Absalom, who was pursuing him to kill him. And perhaps it's better that we don't know when David wrote this, because it opens it to be applied into our lives a little easier. We can't just say, oh, that was David's prayer when this happened. Sometimes it's harder to adapt that to say, hey, this is my prayer too. But I encourage you to read the entire psalm, Psalm 86, and maybe make it one of those things you read regularly, because it is a beautiful psalm. It gives us a wonderful picture of hope. It gives us a better understanding of God and who we are in God. But today, we're just going to focus on those three verses, because I think that they help us in our pursuit to becoming worshipers in spirit and in truth. And of those three verses, the phrase that just jumped out at me was, give me an undivided heart that I may fear you. It speaks of David's desire, and hopefully it puts language to our desire. Now, other translations capture the phrase a little differently. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. The Amplify says, direct my heart to fear your name with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. Others says, focus my heart on fearing you. The most common translation was, unite my heart to fear your name. And this phrasing kind of speaks to our need, that we need for God to do this. Now, in all of these verses, the word fear is about reverential fear, which means to be in worshipful awe of God's holiness, to give God complete reverence and to honor him as the God of great glory, majesty, purity, and power. David wants a heart focused only on God, that he may properly worship. An undivided heart is one that is singular in purpose, and that is to revere God. Now, the easy-to-read translation says, help me make worshiping your name the most important thing in my life. That's just a beautiful sentiment. That the most important thing would be to worship God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. An undivided heart is focused on glorifying God, and so our life becomes worship. We become worshipers. So what might a divided heart look like? Well, in our workplace or wherever we may volunteer, we might work hard to have other people's approval, to gain a good reputation, because our eyes are on them. We are concerned by what they think of us. Our heart is divided because God isn't our entire focus. And in some cases, what God thinks is secondary to what others think. We will compromise our integrity when we care more about what others think But if our eyes are on Christ and we work hard to honor God, it is most likely that all of those people we work with or work for will appreciate us just the same, because we will be proven to be a dependable and hard-working person. But the difference is what motivates us. Are we motivated to honor God, or are we motivated to please man? In my context, if my heart was divided, I would prepare a message with the desire to please you and to have your approval. So I might compromise my message and not preach hard things that I don't think you'll like to hear. My heart is divided because I'm too concerned about what you think than my true purpose, which is to honor and glorify God as I preach the truth. A person with a divided heart is constantly pulled in more than one direction. They try to serve more than one master, and they give neither their full devotion. It's like they can't decide what team they're on. They don't know what uniform to wear. I remember being at a Knights game, and there was a lady in the audience who was wearing a jersey that was half London Knights and half Kitchener Rangers. Her heart was clearly divided. Now, a person with a divided heart might act differently. For example, they might act like they're single even though they're married. Or they might have two sets of friends that they kind of keep separate because they're different people in each of those crowds. They might have two sets of vocabulary depending where they are. And they seem to work hard to fit in more than to be who they are. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6 that no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you're devoted to one and despise the other. An undivided heart is a heart that beats for one purpose. It is a heart that serves one master. Now, did you know that the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him? It tells us this in 2 Chronicles. The Lord searches the whole earth to strengthen the heart committed fully to him. Now, in this psalm, David says, "Give me an undivided heart." He recognizes that the action belongs to God. As humans, on our own, we are destined to have divided hearts, because one part of you is made in the image of God, seeking out good and holy, but the other side is inclined towards selfishness and pride because of the fall. By our own effort, we cannot keep from being divided. But the Spirit at work in us can. And so David recognized this and called out to God to give him an undivided heart. As devoted children of God, as followers of Jesus, our heart becomes united as we mature, as we learn more of the things of God and we fall more in love with Jesus. And we focus on the things that matter. We focus on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we learn to surrender our own selfish wills to Christ's will for us, we allow the image of God to be restored in us. Our hearts become unified, and our worship becomes pure. And Jesus said, "Blessed is the pure in heart, for they will see God." An undivided heart sees the hand of God in everything. They see the beauty in all that God has made. They rejoice even in the struggles because it grows their faith. And they see the heart of the Father for them. An undivided heart can't help but worship the Lord in gladness and come before him with praise, because an undivided heart recognizes the magnitude of what Christ has done. that they were saved from death because of God's great love for them. The one who worships in spirit and in truth cries out, I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. Psalm 1 says, Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on the law day and night. If we were to pass over the do nots in that passage, we would say, Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That is an undivided heart. The psalm goes on to say that the person who has that undivided heart is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Thank goodness that God can give us an undivided heart if we but ask. Even if you have to ask every day. Is that the desire of your heart? Do you want to live solely for the Lord, honoring him in all that you do? Do you want to be the one the Lord finds as he searches the earth looking for someone whose heart belongs to him? Do you want to be a worshiper who worships the Lord in spirit and in truth? If that is the desire of your heart, then why not just ask God for it? Like David did, ask God for an undivided heart. May our Father in heaven increase your glorious inner strength by his Spirit, so that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask God that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length, plumb the depths, and rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God.